Hello and welcome to the Boxy Podcast. You're looking to anything and everything sports related. I'm Alec Dietz.
I'm Andy Amashta.
And I'm Chris Ankiko. And today we're going to talk about some of the happenings in UW Athletics and a few of the biggest topics in the NBA this week. But first, we're going to talk about the big news on Montlake concerning UW's newest football commit, Julius Ervin. The four-star recruit committed to the Huskies over powerhouses like USC and Alabama. Alec, we'll start with you. What do you make of this signing and what makes him such a big get?
Well, I think it's huge. I think, you know, he's 6'2", 182 pounds. He's prototypical size for a safety. Chris Fetters, who writes for UW Athletics, compared him to Deshaun Goldson, who's like an all-pro for the 49ers for all those years. You know, comes in as the 12th best-ranked safety in the country, according to 247. It's just a huge get. And the fact that he may not even play his first year is incredible. I mean, that defensive backfield is loaded.
Not only that, but from some of the reports that I've been reading, he also has the skill set to play corner. And he wants to play corner in the NFL. He's the son of Leroy Ervin, who's a two-time Pro Bowler for the Los Angeles Rams back in the 80s, I think. Yeah, I mean, the versatility is always a good thing. And then, let's be honest, like, one of the biggest things about this is they got him in USC's backyard over the Trojans and over Bama, who offered him late, and then also held off offers from Notre Dame and Penn State. This is a huge get for the Washington defensive back room and for the defense in general, for the program in general, really.
Him and Kyler Gordon, who he was a backyard kid. They kept Notre Dame at bay, which isn't easy. And then Brandon Cahoe, who they keep, won BYU and Alabama off. I mean, those three guys.
He's a five-star now, too.
He's the first five-star recruit Chris Peterson has ever gotten. This is the best class Chris Peterson has ever gotten. It's the ninth best class in the country, tops in the Pac-12 by a large margin. It's just more riches for the already really wealthy for UW at this point.
Oh, absolutely. And the defensive back room is going to be stacked to something like 14 guys in that room next year. But then you do have to remember that the year after that, you've got guys like JoJo McIntosh leaving, and then Taylor Rapp might leave because he's a baller.
And Jordan Miller is going to be a senior next year. So for sure, they need to start replacing those guys. I think Miles Bryant, he's a junior next year, but you got to start thinking about Elijah Molden fitting that role. And
not only that, you mentioned Elijah Molden, but they had a great defensive back recruiting class last year, too. Molden, McKinney, and
Keith Taylor. I got you.
Taylor's from Servite. So I think it was mentioned in an interview with Ervin after he committed that Coach Lake has been talking to him since Lake was down at Servite to recruit Taylor. So,
oh, yeah, not surprised
at all. They had a deep connection, which I think is a really good sign for the Huskies. Man, Coach Lake, though, like, really coming through, though.
I mean, I don't know if they gave him a raise, but they gave him that promotion. They turned him into the defensive coordinator this year, and I mean, it's paying dividends. He's as talented a defensive backs coach, a defensive coach in general, as it gets.
Such a talented recruiter.
NFL experience all over the country. He's such a great retention by Chris Peterson.
And even just look at last year.
Is it King, Baker, and
Jones?
And Jones, yeah.
Yeah, they all went in the second round of the draft, so he provided
the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so. Jones, and hey, Buddha Baker went to the Pro Bowl, so
that's a special teamer, right?
But he
that's not denouncing his achievement. But
absolutely, and then Coach Lake's obviously established himself as a way for defensive backs to get into the league, and that is the best thing that Washington could have asked for.
And you're not even talking about Desmond Trufant, who was before Jimmy Lake, Marcus Peters, you know, those guys. I mean, University of Washington has cranked out some top-tier DBs in the
DBU.
NFL.
Yeah, was it?
It's
no, DBU. It's the thing, hashtag DB Factory.
Yeah.
It's working out for them. It's working out real well.
Yeah. Aren't they shaping up to be one of the more experienced teams in the Pac-12 just as a whole?
Yeah, next year they have the most experience out of any top 10 team.
Mm-hmm. And we're already predicted to be, I think ESPN had us at 7 or 8.
Yeah, so they don't have us beating Auburn. Right now I think they gave us like a 40% shot to win that game in Atlanta next year.
Is that at Auburn?
It's in Atlanta.
Mercedes-Benz
Arena?
It's in quote-unquote a neutral site.
Yeah, even though it's... Yeah.
It's in Atlanta. It's in the SEC backyard. So that'll be an interesting game to see how they respond. Auburn's returning. Kerryon Johnson is gone, but they return their quarterback and Jarrett Stidham. So we'll see if any of these young DBs are going to play. I mean, they're certainly talented enough to.
This whole class is ridiculously talented. We could see Marquise Spiker and Austin Osborne get some time, maybe. Brandon Cahoe, I'm assuming, will play.
I think he's going to play, yeah.
I mean, you can't bring a five-star in and your first five-star in and then redshirt him.
I mean, it's something Coach Pete would do. He did it to Byron Murphy. Wasn't a five-star guy, but it was the best recruit he'd had to that point, and he redshirted him.
We'll see. But, Cahoe, I think, will play. And Yeah, we're looking at some freshmen who really could make an impact that first year.
All right, way too early predictions. Are the Huskies going to get in the playoff?
Oh my gosh, that's so early.
I'm superstitious. It's way, so I'm
too,
not gonna...
it's way, way too early. You can knock on wood if you want to.
Do we have any in here?
Just the desk. Just the desk.
That's kind of wood. I think it's going to be hard. I think that first game, if I'm being honest, that first game is tough. That's a tough win. I think it's a coin toss. I think it drags a lot out of your team that you have to travel all that way. And then you have to come back at home and play North Dakota. You should win that game.
Hopefully.
But then you go out on the road early in the season and play at Utah in the third game of the year after that tough Auburn game. That's going to be a trap game for you. I mean, I could easily see UW losing two out of its first three games. I'm not going to make a prediction, but I'm not getting my hopes way high up for the playoffs next year, but I think certainly a conference championship is attainable.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think conference championship should be at least the goal, but I mean, they're all going to say the playoff is the goal. Yeah, I think really that you're right. Those first 3 weeks are really going to determine the ceiling on this team, but they do have the potential to look really good. The defense comes back strong, got a lot of returning starters, getting Miles Gaskin back. We've talked about it before, but that's a big return. Yeah, I can't make a prediction either, but it could be an exciting season for sure.
And I think that that Auburn game, out of any game they play all year, is losable.
Really? More than any other game?
More than any other game. If you lose that game, you can be like Ohio State and come back and win the rest of them and make the playoff.
It's one game that you can, there's like an excuse if you... because it's like, obviously, it's the first game of the
it's
year.
On it's on the road. Highly ranked team. Exactly.
And basically, neutral site, but it's a road.
It's a
road.
It's game. Again, quote unquote, good loss on the road. So I think out of any game next year, that's the one that they could lose and still make the playoff. But if you go to Utah and lose and also lose to Auburn, that's going to be a crusher.
Oh, yeah.
All right, and looking to other UW athletic schedule for this week, teams that are actually in season. A lot of road matchups. The gymnastics team is headed to number 3 Utah, the top team in the Pac-12 on the road.
Really, over UCLA?
Yeah. Utah's okay. The top-ranked gymnast team in the NCAA. So we'll see how they do there. They've improved their scores from week to week, so this week they look to do the same thing. The women's basketball team will play 2 games. They'll play, and they're on the road as well, so they go to number 25, Arizona State. And that'll be tonight at 7 o'clock, and then they take on the Wildcats of Arizona on Sunday in Tucson. So that'll be a really interesting trip for them. We'll see if they can sort of bounce back from what's been a tough first half of the year. And then lastly, the women's tennis team is off. The men's tennis team is heading. Actually, they're staying here. They're taking on Pepperdine today. And then tomorrow, it's their first back-to-back of the season. They're taking on Princeton at home. And we'll see how those teams do this weekend.
All right, so now we're going to move on to the BARC. It is the All-NBA edition of the BARC. And our first topic is going to be about quite a bombshell trade, I would say. Blake Griffin getting traded from the Clippers to the Pistons. Andy, we'll start with you. What do you think of that trade?
Well, first of all, I think that this is obviously a sign that the Clippers are now fully in rebuild. That Warriors-Clippers rivalry that... not being a rivalry is dead. Yes, it is completely dead.
It was sort of dead before.
It was dead. The Warriors had won like who cares 5 of the last 6 or something.
It was prime when like before the Warriors got like really good.
Prime when it was Lob City versus like look at the Warriors and like when the Warriors were still the good guys.
When they were the underdogs,
and everyone was like, oh, look at the Warriors and the Golden Boy and Steph Curry. But now it's dead. They've shipped Blake Griffin out, and it's kind of sad to see the end of Blake Griffin in LA for now at least. And the other thing I've been hearing is that this could be the sign that the Clippers want to get in on the LeBron James free agency next summer, which I don't see him going there.
Doesn't everyone want to get on the LeBron James free agency?
I mean, nobody would turn down LeBron James.
Oh, but we'll get there later.
Most definitely. But honestly, the thing that like shocks me about this trade too is that he found out through Twitter. I'm reading here. He found out through Twitter. It's like, he's been at the organization for, 9 or 10 years?
They drafted him.
Yeah, they just signed him to a big extension. Yeah.
You have to find out through your phone. That's kind of disgraceful.
Yeah, it's kind of disrespectful. No, it's not more than kind of.
It's totally disgraceful. And I think, there's this big double standard of people that get upset when KD goes and leaves OKC and the fans get upset. And he spent, almost 10 years there. You see, Isaiah Thomas get shipped off from Boston after taking them to the playoffs at the number 1 seed, and Blake Griffin getting shipped off to Detroit, of all places.
I mean, if we're going to talk about the Detroit part, though, I mean, it could be interesting. Blake and paired with Andre Drummond. Did I get that right? That's his name,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
For some reason, I'm like, wait, is that right?
What, you didn't think you got that one?
Yeah, for a second, I was like, wait. Yeah, yeah, okay. I think that could be exciting to watch. But yeah, it's on the Clippers part, that is kind of sad. And like, I kind of understand the whole, like, I can understand fans being mad at KD, if I'm being honest. He went to a team that won 73 games the year before, been to the finals 2 years in a row. And it seemed kind of soft. And then not only that, like, there is a difference between leaving a free agency and being traded. But at the same time, the Clippers organization could have had more class going about this, because Blake Griffin was your franchise player for a long time.
Yeah.
And like, he had a lot of injury problems, but I think there definitely could have been something like, call him when you'd be like, hey, I'm sorry, we've traded you. We're doing what's best for the organization. Like, we wish you all the best. But yeah, for him to find out through a journalist or something on Twitter, is that must hurt a lot.
I mean, I do wonder, like, what Detroit's playoff prospects are. Right now, they're a fringe playoff team. They're 23-26, just right outside of the 8 seed. So obviously, the Griffin and Drummond pairing is a pretty formidable one on paper. But we'll see how it works out.
It kind of reminds me of the Pelicans going out and getting Boogie last year to try and make themselves more of a like playoff threat, and then they still really were a fringe team at the end anyway. Yeah. And because they traded away all of their perimeter.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, too. You know, Tobias Harris and Avery Bradley.
Avery Bradley, yeah. And it's obviously they're trading them because the Clippers want expiring contracts, and those are the two biggest that the Pistons have.
And they wanted that draft pick.
Yeah, they wanted that draft pick. But yeah, I don't know how well this is going to work. They need to bring in some more perimeter guys.
Well, and Chris, you brought up that Detroit was a fringe playoff team. They're sitting in, what, I think, the 9th seed right now, losing record in the East. He got traded from a team that's currently in the 9th seed in the Western Conference.
The Clippers are sitting in the same spot
so
in the West.
I think that's so interesting that Detroit's sort of taking this approach where, like, okay, we're going to try to get into the playoffs. Maybe the East isn't as strong as it's been in years past. Maybe we can beat. If we're in the 7th seed, we can maybe beat the Cavs, beat the Raptors, if we have a guy like Blake Griffin who's healthy. Where the Clippers are like, okay, we see the Warriors,
it's
the
done.
Rockets, the Spurs at the top.
Yeah.
Even if we make the playoffs at the 8th seed.
I would take the Blazers over them too.
Yeah, so even if they do make the 8th seed, okay, you're going to have to get into a 4-7, or quote, 7-game series with the Warriors that's going to end in 4. So
they could get swept by any of the top 3 teams in the West.
So that, yeah, and they realize they need to make a move. I'm hearing that DeAndre Jordan is going
to
get moved on.
I can't believe,
like, Lou Williams is thinking about moving on, so it's...
I wonder where he would go. Would he go somewhere else in the Eastern Conference, or somewhere in the Eastern Conference?
Oh, if I'm him,
or would he stay in, like, in house? Because you got the Timberwolves, the Thunder, the Trailblazers.
If he went to the Timberwolves, that'd be nice. But they have Jamal Crawford. I'm trying to think who needs scoring off the bench.
How's Jamal Crawford doing though? Isn't he getting up there?
He's getting up there in age, but he can still hit some big shots. But I could see the Timberwolves trading Crawford for a guy like Lou Will.
Yeah. Trade Crawford back to LA,
and then it's an expiring contract. Yeah. That's something the Clippers might want.
You might have to give him a bit more, though, than just Crawford to get Williams.
That's true, too.
They would have to dump more.
He's obviously an all-star candidate.
Yeah, they probably have to find, I don't know what kind of contracts they have, but if they've got any big expiring contracts, the Clippers would take that. Because the Clippers want any kind of contract that expires.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, is Pekovic still there?
Maybe, I don't know.
Oh, in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Let's take a look.
I would say the one team that I would say doesn't need him is the Rockets, actually.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
Eric Gordon is off the bench. Is just
no, he's not. Pekovic doesn't play for the team.
Yeah, okay,
not anymore.
I remember he had that big contract for
a
while. Oh yeah,
I was always playing 2K, and I was trying to get rid of him when I was playing against the T-Wolves.
Are you sure? He was pretty good. I did like some fantasy drafts, and I would always have him off the bench, and he was a pretty good big man off the bench. He was pretty skilled off the bench.
I tried to, we're talking about 2K. I tried to dump him because he had that big contract. So I was like, okay, I want a draft pick. I'll trade
Pekovic.
So like, yeah, I got rid of him and tried to get like LeBron or some, or KD or something.
Or KD.
Yeah, that was my plan, to dump that big contract. But anyway.
Maybe go to like the Wizards or something. They lost John Wall, and then like maybe even give him some opportunities to start and then move him back to the bench when Wall comes back.
Or hell, the Cavs.
Yeah. Oh,
the Cavs.
If I'm him, I'm avoiding the Cavs. There's
sure, but,
so much
but if it, if
right
it's
now.
At the trade deadline, the Cavs are like, I don't want Jeff Green. I don't want Kyle Korver. I don't want a few of these other guys. those are, I think, expiring contracts. Give me Lou Will off the bench, and maybe that's something that can kickstart the Cavaliers.
Yeah, yeah. I could see him, what's it called? Raptors, I think, would be an interesting one for him.
Do they have the cap space?
They probably don't. They'd have to move some of their bigger pieces.
Because
probably.
You still have Lowry, who
Lowry
has a huge
contract. It's $100 million over like 3 years.
And DeRozan, and then Ibaka is also getting paid. Valanciunas is getting paid.
I forgot about him.
So their cap issues.
They'd have to lose a lot of players. They'd probably have to give up like Powell and, Van Fleet is their current backup, or Dellen Wright, too, they have.
I think the Cavs are in that situation right now where, like, their owner's thinking about selling the team. LeBron's like,
I'm done, yeah.
I'm going to go maybe play for the Warriors.
I would say the other team that I think wouldn't be in contention for Lou Williams is Celtics, because Rozier has been phenomenal for them off the bench.
Yeah.
That's not a move they need to think about.
No, yeah, I think
keep the chemistry of the team. So.
The Celtics are like the one team in the NBA that I think is fine with staying set with what they have.
I mean, in the Warriors.
No, the Warriors are thinking about moving pieces.
Well, they're thinking about moving JaVale McGee. That's Nick Young. The big one. Nick Young,
JaVale, Kevon Looney. There's a few guys they're looking to move to try to, you know, free up space and stuff like that.
Well, because they want to bring Quinn Cook back. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And so, like, they wouldn't be trading for Lou Will, though. I don't think they'll be trading for Lou Will.
No, I don't think so either. I think that contract's too big.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I don't blame him for, like, taking big money where it's on the table. He probably knows he's going to get traded, too. Like, he's probably got his, like, emergency go bag, wherever they just call him up.
Yeah, journeyman.
But, I mean, also, he's absolutely, like, deserving of the money. He's one of the best six men in the NBA, hands down.
Well, I was going to say we were sort of, like, tiptoeing around.
We've been sort of tiptoeing
about LeBron to the Warriors. Now we're just going to dive right into that. There's been a lot of rumors lately about, I think LeBron said that he would
consider it if they cleared the cap space going to Golden State. That was what Chris Haynes reported. He was the guy who broke the Hayward story to Boston.
Yeah. Well, I feel like Hayward to Boston was kind of like a lot of people
were thinking it. But you know, it's not like a slouch or like NBA Twitter account is tweeting this out as a rumor.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is an ESPN guy. Mm-hmm. So
I don't know how they would clear the cap space.
They'd have to get rid of Klay Thompson. That's what they're saying.
And Draymond.
And Draymond Green.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. And how are you going to play LeBron and KD at the same time?
I guess. Yeah. Well, there's the whole thing about moving KD to the five, but he doesn't want to play the five. So.
And I mean, that's just such a ball dominant lineup.
Yeah. Because
then you're looking
at
Steph. He needs the ball. I mean, he can operate without the ball, but he still needs to touch the ball. LeBron needs the ball, and KD needs the ball. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, absolutely. The greatest thing about Klay Thompson as a two guard is he doesn't need the ball. He's a catch and shoot guy. Like, he's never going to assist a lot because he doesn't carry the ball a lot. Like,
yep.
He makes it so that the team can flow through two ball dominant players. That's like, yeah, it's what the Cavs are having a problem with right now, because IT needs the ball and
LeBron
needs the ball. And if we're being honest, Kevin Love kind of needs the ball to be at his most effective. Like, when he was the best, or when he was at his best at Minnesota, it was because he was getting into the post and then kicking balls out to shooters. Like,
yep.
That's still him needing the ball.
I would say if the Warriors got LeBron, it'd probably be the best starting lineup in NBA history, but it'd also be the shallowest bench in NBA history.
Oh, because absolutely.
You'd have to, you know, everybody else would have to be making, like, the minimum.
Oh, yeah.
To sustain that. I mean, obviously, I'm pretty sure LeBron and Curry are willing to play 44, 45 minutes together on the court at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you know, maybe if you want to rest people, you know, that might be an issue.
Definitely an issue.
It's just crazy. And honestly, LeBron may be saying he's considering going to the Warriors. I don't think the Warriors are considering LeBron James at all.
No.
If
it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. Like, I don't think the Warriors aren't looking to make, like, that big move. There's a whole Kawakami article about them in a couple years maybe going after AD. But, yeah, I don't see them going after LeBron. Not only that, let's be honest, the Warriors fans hate LeBron.
Yep.
I don't think that him coming to the Warriors would make them like him anymore.
Well, that's
Go ahead.
I think another thing is, like, KD got a lot of crap for, you know, leaving and going to the Warriors. I mean, how much junk would LeBron take if he went to Golden State?
It would absolutely tarnish his legacy. Like,
I mean, he's already one of the most hated guys in the league because he left to go to Miami, and, you know, like,
I don't know. I'd say he's had like a redemption arc. As like we're talking about like a character in a story, like, because he left and then he came back home and won.
Well, and
the
then KD left, and I think he sort of took that away from him, because LeBron, even when he came back, I think Cleveland fans were happy, but a lot of us were like, "You still left to go to Miami."
That's fair. I don't know.
Cleveland was a desperate desperate town at that point.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're happy to have you back. We want to be back in the finals again.
We don't want to be bad anymore.
Yeah. And, I mean, that was the first super team.
Yeah.
That was Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade.
Celtics back, like, the big three. So, obviously, like, yeah, Pierce.
Those guys were drafted, Allen, right?
Pierce is the only one who was original in Boston.
Rondo?
If you want to add Rondo in there.
Okay, I do consider Rondo part of that. They wouldn't have been able to play as well as they did without
Rondo
him.
Rondo was a machine.
But when we talk big three, we're talking Allen, Pierce, and
Kevin Garnett.
Okay.
And Garnett, obviously, Timberwolves, Allen from Seattle.
Milwaukee, I think.
Seattle.
Did he start in Milwaukee and then go to Seattle?
He got big here.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, you can go like farther back than that. I mean, look at like the Showtime Lakers. Magic, who was a finals MVP.
Kareem.
The six-time MVP.
Yeah.
And first, number one overall, James Worthy.
Yep.
So, I mean, there are, like, super teams have been a part of the league because the NBA is a superstar-driven league. We follow the big stars. That's the difference between the NBA and football. Football, they all wear helmets. We can't tell who's who. In the NBA, we can, like, see who. Like, we all know what LeBron looks like and what Kevin Durant looks like.
Well, I mean, the difference with, like, the Showtime Lakers and stuff like that was sort of built through the draft. You know, obviously Kareem was in a trade, but Magic comes around, makes everyone else better, and then James Worthy just makes them just, like, incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you know, all these super, you know, trading for players and
I
stuff
can agree
like,
with you about that, for sure.
Well, and the Warriors, aside from Kevin Durant, are sort of the same way.
Yeah. I mean, the 2015 Warriors, for sure.
Yeah.
Andre Iguodala was the biggest, like,
Harrison
free agent
Barnes.
Sign they had.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you still have out of in your starting lineup, Klay, Draymond, and Steph, and all three of those guys are drafted.
Oh, yeah. The Warriors front office does a phenomenal job drafting. Like, I've never seen a team have so many hits. Like, and that obviously should, you don't get lucky that many times.
No, and then they add, like, Jordan Bell and Patrick McCaw, who contributes in the NBA Finals, and, like, guards LeBron James.
Oh, yeah.
And
absolutely.
They take those guys in the second round. I mean, no one's doing that.
Yeah, and then because they take them from, like, there's so many, they're just so good at finding value where other teams don't see it, you know? Like, people looked at Jordan Bell, and they're like, oh, he's kind of a sloppy rebounder.
Undersized.
And, like, undersized, doesn't really have a defined position, can't shoot. But the Warriors are like, hey, we can, like, utilize him. I saw some article talking about it, and they're like, for the casual fan, you look at Jordan Bell, and you're like, wow, he's the kind of player that you need to beat a team like the Warriors. So, of course, he ends up on the Warriors.
Yep. Well, and the Bulls gave him up for cash.
Oh, yeah. Classic Bulls move, by the way.
For cash. Yeah. They don't even get anything else. They just got some money out of it.
Not even the maximum amount of money either.
No. I couldn't believe it when that happened.
Yeah, that was such a good pickup. Yeah, and then McCaw coming out of, UNLV?
I believe he was also for cash.
Was he for cash?
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
I think he was from the Bucks.
Yeah, because their first round pick in that was Damian Jones, who's not even in the NBA.
Yeah, he's in their G League team. Yep. And he dunked all over someone the other day.
Yeah, I did.
I don't know if you guys saw that. Oh, my gosh.
No, I did not.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't – honestly,
anyway.
This is a little getting off topic, but would you can still want to be developing Damian Jones? If I'm the Warriors, kind of maybe give up on him by now and just spend that money somewhere else.
I think you do because – Zaza Pachulia is in your answer at center.
Most definitely not.
And
screens, and he moves the ball better than people give him credit
for. He does,
for.
But he's getting up there in age. And
he's only 34. He'll be 34 next year. It's surprisingly, because he's played a long time.
Yeah.
It feels like he's been around. He's like he's old, but he's way younger than D. West.
Sure, but centers, I mean, aside from D. West, centers sort of drop quick. You saw Dwight Howard, who was probably the top center in the game a few years ago, and now...
Well, Dwight's problem is that all of a sudden the league became all about shooting instead of just being big.
It's true.
If he had played in the 90s, he would still be one of the best players in the league, but he can't shoot, so he's no longer relevant, and now he plays on Charlotte, and nobody
cares. He's got too big of shoulders.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He's too muscular for
his own
good.
He was like a 99% free throw shooter in high school, and then he got to the pros, and he just, like, can't do it anymore.
It's all mental.
Oh, absolutely.
It's all mental.
Did you see it when he goes out there? Did you see that when Michael Carter... When Michael Carter Williams got in that fight, and then the other team got to pick who shoot free throws.
They picked Dwight
off the bench.
And then he made both.
He made both of them, and he's like, man, y'all ragging on me. I can make free throws. But, yeah, like, it happened so fast. I can see what you mean by that, because, yeah, he's kind of dropped off the face of it. What do you say, Dwight Howard, veterans minimum to the Warriors?
Oh, my gosh. No. Don't even talk about it. It's just every time they do stuff like this. And it's going to happen next year because I don't think they're going to keep Nick Young. I think he's too expensive. because they're paying him about $6 million and he barely plays.
5.81, I think. But
yeah, 5.81, and because they're in the luxury tax,
the whole veterans minimum on him.
Yeah, because they're in the luxury tax, they actually have to pay like the league or something an extra $10 million for that. So I don't think Nick Young's staying on the roster, so they're going to need a shooter and Caspi.
I agree. I don't think he stays on the roster next year. I don't think they move him this year, though.
No, I don't think they do either. I think he'll be on for the playoffs and beyond.
He is by far the best shooter off of their bench.
He's the best shooter not named Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry.
That's true.
They don't have any other shooters on that roster.
Yeah. So far, they haven't needed it. Let's be honest.
Well, and we're digressing a lot from our original topic. I guess we're not. LeBron of the Warriors. Yeah, we're talking about the Warriors.
Still kind of in the ballpark.
We're talking about the Warriors. I mean, I guess that's close.
So with that, we're going to end our show. Thank you for listening to The Box Seat. This has been Chris Ankiko.
Alec Dietz.
And Andy Amashta. If you want to join the conversation on Twitter, please tweet us at Box Seat Podcast. Thanks again, and we'll see you next Friday.
I'm Aiden Walker.
And I'm Blake Peterson.
Together, we host a podcast called Cinema Adventure, where we discuss movies with important guests, talk about their favorite movies, and recommend movies that you may have never heard of before.
So join us every other Monday on the Soundbite Network so we can film you in. Wasn't that good?
It was really good.
It's a good pun, isn't it?
For more like this and other great shows covering sports, science, relationships, and the arts, visit the Soundbites website, uwpodcast.com. That's uwpodcast.com.